bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Good evening. It's a privilege to see you. It's a wonderful opportunity that the Lord affords undeserving sinners. Does that offend you? I'm sorry,
no,
it's true.
It's the truth.
If you're a sinner tonight and the Lord has allowed you to know that, feel blessed.
Amen.
Because that means that you know that you've been given a new nature, and you realize that the Lord was sent to be a Savior, and He didn't come to save at, but He came for a purpose. And if He came to save folks, there must be somebody that needed saving. The Lord said He came to save and seek and save them which are lost. And I believe that He accomplished that.
I do too, Brother James.
I'm not intellectual. I try to act like I am. I try to speak well, and there's certainly nothing wrong with intellect. As Brother Gary has already said, it's been such a wonderful weekend and such joy and pleasure that when I'm with the Lord's people and I get happy, I do talk a whole lot. So I'm happy tonight, children of God, and some of you I've never met, so I greet you in the name of the Lord and wish you a pleasant week, if I don't see you no more, a pleasant year. Coming from the most southern point of Virginia, I want to tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, Jamie, we've heard that over and over. Well, let's talk about it one more time.
Amen. Amen.
I want to tell you about one because I'm happy.
Yeah.
And when I'm happy, I want to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
Ask anybody, they'll tell you. Because He's been so much to me.
Yes.
And after 41 years of marriage, and I see this young man right here, and after I've helped raise three children, you'll learn that there's not a friend like Jesus.
No.
And we hear this, but I've lived it. Because I know that I'm a sinner. I tried to live good and decent before my family. But I've come to the realization that I believe what Isaiah said, there's none good, no, not one. So I know that mercy and grace has got me where I am today.
Amen.
And today I'm happy.
Right.
So I want to tell you why I'm happy. And that's because of Jesus.
Amen.
And of all the blessings and gifts that He's given to His people on this earth, that's what makes us happy.
Right.
I think about heaven and immortal glory, and I think about my mother and father in heaven, and I think about the greatness of God's eternal bliss. It's really hard for me to be happy long about that because I don't understand it.
Right.
I want to. It's hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
It seems so far. But from time to time, the Lord gives us little glimpses of that. But He does that through time and through His people here. He does that, as we tried to explain at Cedar Creek, at times through the gospel.
Yes, He does.
He does that at times through people.
Amen.
But you know what? He uses it instrumentally in showing His love to His people in the church is His shepherds.
Yes.
And His pastors. You know, every preacher is not a pastor. Every preacher is not a shepherd. The Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, he gave some apostles, some teachers, some preachers, some evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we be no more tossed to and fro with these foolish doctrines. We need to hear and learn and study about a Savior that will make us happy.
Amen.
You know, I was happy when I was making $60,000 a year living in the Cedarside house with four bedrooms, and never know that I could be happy living in the old home place with the biggest joy of my life is a wood heater. Because the Lord sends shepherds. He sends pastors. His Holy Spirit is ever with us. He sends the good news. And I hope tonight that as we'll try to explain at Cedar Creek, maybe Thumb Wrong, maybe Craigsville, who knows? I've been so happy with the Lord's people. I hope that the Lord, I hope that the Lord allows me to preach, and I hope that He tunes you in.
Amen.
I hope you don't sit there and say, "Let's, you know, he can't talk very well, and he's not like one I've heard." And you're probably right. But I hope the Lord tunes you in if the gospel is preached and allows you to hear it.
Amen. Amen.
I explained to the church at Cedar Creek that there is no doubt. I'm going to repeat, Gary.
Go ahead.
There's no doubt AM signals in this building. Sure. There's no doubt FM. There's digital signals,
sure.
Cell phone signals bouncing probably all over this room. But
right.
We don't hear anything.
Right.
Because there's not a receiver turned on.
Right.
I hope that the Lord will, the Holy Spirit that He puts within us, we certainly cannot make it happen, and we certainly cannot give it to no one else. But I hope that the Lord, and I can see it in your faces, and I believe with the desire to come out and to worship on a Sunday night and take your good time that you could be resting, I believe that you're children of God. And I hope that the Lord turns the receiver on and tunes your receiver on and allows me to tell you about Him. That's my intention and that's my desire.
Amen.
Isaiah was a wonderful prophet of God. He should have been, I think, in the New Testament. Isaiah was a wonderful man of God. You've heard Isaiah 40 over and over and over again.
Sure.
But there's one verse that I want to take out of it, and that's Isaiah 40 verse 11.
Okay.
Now there's many wonderful truths in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Brother Terry, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
That Isaiah is directing us to one that can give us comfort. And he says, they're my people. And he tells us, speak to them comfortably and tell them something. Listen, tell them something that will make them happy.
Crying.
What could it be, Isaiah? Tell them that their warfare is accomplished. Listen, tell your young children and middle-aged children, my children are still my children. The oldest is 33 or 4 or 5. I can't keep up with them. And the youngest is 25. But I'm telling you, keep telling them there's one able to lead you and guide you. He says in this verse 11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd.
Amen.
He shall gather the lambs with His arms.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11. And carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Amen.
Isaiah is going to tell us something here, children of God. And I hope the Lord will allow us. I hope that the Lord, a lot of times we see that in the scriptures that the old devil just walks right in with us. And he's so subtle.
Sure.
It could be simply, what are we going to do next week?
Yeah.
It could be simply, wish I hadn't come. My favorite preacher ain't here. It could be simply, I just don't feel well. That may be enough. The old devil can use that to let our minds wander.
Yeah.
So listen, just for a few minutes, I'm going back to Danville, Virginia, way down to Danville, Virginia in the morning. So just for a moment, hear me, children of God, because the Lord can make us happy, and He does this. Listen, the Holy Spirit that's born in us is by no means of man, device, or money, but the gospel and discipleship is a means. It is a way. It is a walk that we should do, and preaching comes under that.
Absolutely.
We know as old Baptists, it's been preached by the apostles, the preacher does not give eternal life,
but
it sure will give you a deliverance here in time.
Amen.
So Isaiah is telling us something very important here, and he's telling us about a shepherd.
Right.
Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 maybe, that the chief shepherd, when he comes, he'll make the under shepherds happy,
they're
children of God.
He's
so we understand that the shepherd shepherds are not the chief shepherds.
Right.
There's one, the great shepherd.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they follow me. The Lord, we understand and know that the Lord is our shepherd. David said in Psalm 23, as your pastor that I love dearly, and he just don't know how much he blesses my soul. And I wouldn't tell no story in the pulpit, Gary. You understand me? But I'm telling you, he hit on this today. A Well, somebody did. I hope it was you. David says, have we heard this too much? Have we heard this that it don't make us happy? David says, you know what, folks? They say, it's written, they say that David, the Lord Himself says, this man is a man after my own heart. But David said, little David said, little sinner David said, the great man David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now we know that David's not a sheep. We know that we're not sheep. But the Lord, Isaiah is telling us here something so wonderful. Listen, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Listen, don't speak to them about a God that tried and failed. Don't tell them about Jesus Christ that came and waited for you and your devices or your good works. Tell them about one that completely destroyed the enemy. Tell them about one that you can rest as you own your beds of affliction. You can rest as you raise your children. You can rest as your jobs go away. You can rest as you and your wife struggle through years of marriage, sometime up and sometime down. You can rest in this. You can rest that the warfare is accomplished. It's over. It's settled. The book of Revelation simply means the Lord wins. And there's no battle there. And that's what Isaiah is telling us here. And it says, oh, he's going to lead. He shall feed his flock. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, it's wonderful for me to see y'all. You know what? The Lord leads, guides. We do not believe that the Lord causes me to sin. But we do know, as Gary already preach, that the Lord leads and guides His people here on this earth.
Amen.
Me and Gary talk coming up the road. I let him talk some, I'll admit. I had to get a breath sometime or another. But we talk coming up the road when we looked in him there earlier. You know, I joined the church in 1973 and I tried to start preaching. The Lord, I tried to attempt preaching about 13 years ago. And we look back on our history with the churches, with the troubles in the churches, with the devices of men, and we should have never spoke to one another.
Yeah.
Years ago, we wouldn't even visit each other's church.
That's true.
But the Lord, we've got a chief shepherd that allows men with their devices to sometimes just fade away. Amen. And then the sheep, after the battle's over, they gather back together and say, hey, what happened? Who won the battle? Amen. Well, Isaiah is telling us here in Isaiah chapter 40 about this shepherd. He says, tell them about this shepherd.
Yes.
Oh, money, devices, multitudes of money have been robbed. Jesus Christ Himself says, you self-righteous Pharisees, you have robbed these widows. You have robbed the poor, taking them and getting glory to yourself that don't belong to you. Amen. So Isaiah is telling us something different here. This warfare is accomplished. It's finished. The Lord is sitting on the right hand of His Father. And oh, I'm so glad that the Lord revealed that to me.
Amen. Me too.
Because it's given me great comfort.
Give me peace.
It gave me comfort. When I worked in that tire factory for 30 years, double shifts, trying to raise my three children and do the best that I could. And Lord, what am I doing here at 3 o'clock in the morning in this grease pit, in this trench where the presses were? Lord, what in the world's going on? Oh, but He visits us with His Spirit,
yes,
and He gives you that sweet peace.
Yes.
And from time to time, you get your sense of accomplishment. Listen, I know we've got struggles. The Lord said, this is a hard road, Peter.
Yeah.
This is a long road, Peter. But listen, the Lord has sent a shepherd. The Lord has sent the gospel. The Lord has sent men, not only the Holy Spirit to quicken you, but the Lord has sent relief. And He sent relief a lot of times through the gospel.
Amen.
And the gospel is simply this. The warfare is accomplished.
Yes, it is.
It's accomplished. Well, what does that mean?
It
means that Jesus Christ came here and accomplished exactly what His Father sent Him to do.
Sent Him to do.
And I believe every word of it.
I do too, bro.
I believed it since I was 9 years old when I didn't understand it. Yeah. I believe it now that I'm 61 years old and found out that my daddy was smarter than I'll ever dare to be. I believe it now that my son that's 20... How old is Timothy? I don't have no idea. 28?
Yeah.
I believe he's the man I'll never be. I believe he's more honest. I believe he's a machinist. He's going to get his engineer's degree. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's always pleasant. He's just right. Listen, I love him, and I wouldn't tell you no lie. I'm telling you right now, I'm just not all that. But I do know this. I've been privileged to hear a gospel. I've been privileged that the Lord has sent pastors. I've been privileged that the Lord has sent shepherds.
Yes,
and Isaiah is telling us how we should act. Now this is talking about Jesus. I understand that. I'm not that nitwitty, but I'm telling you, we should act just like Him. Listen, I want to walk like Him. I want to be baptized like Him. I want to be buried in the ground like Him. I want to study so I can learn more about Him. I want to be just like Jesus, because Isaiah is telling us why here.
Right.
The warfare is accomplished. Oh, listen, children of God. You're probably not like me. You probably never looked in the mirror and needed to really feel that you're forgiven.
Oh, yes.
Sister at the church the other day asked Sister Debbie, Sister Dale, what has Jamie done that he's saying? Dale said, he ain't done nothing. I've known him all his life. He's an honest man, but he always says, I need forgiveness because I understand when I measure my up to Jesus in the perfectness in the Lord's kingdom. I don't come up. I'm just undone, children of God. And it's not nothing. Maybe outwardly, it's enough of that. But it's this inward guilt. And the Lord Isaiah tells us right here. Listen, speak well far as a compass, and that her iniquity is pardoned. Right. You ever feel like you need to be pardoned? Amen. Well, maybe you never. Been guilty. I bet you if you had caught and had been accused of a crime that you didn't commit, or maybe you did commit, and then the judge says, you know what? You're pardoned. I bet you would feel it then. Yeah. So Isaiah is telling us something here so wonderful. Tell them something comfortably. Don't tell them something to tickle their ears, but you tell them something, children, because these sheep are going to need it.
Yes.
These sheep are wandering. These sheep get out and they come dragging in. Where have you been? Look at him, that mud, he's black from his head to his... What in the world are you doing? Where have you been now?
Yeah.
Oh, the shepherd. Wait a minute. Jesus says, I'm going to leave this 99 because that one is strayed away. Oh. That's that good shepherd Isaiah is telling us here. And he's there to draw him in the fold. You know what? The Lord told Peter, feed my lambs, Peter. Feed my sheep. He never told Peter to make sheep.
No.
Do you know how to run goats out of your church? Give them sheep food.
Yeah.
And run them away right now.
Amen.
Listen, I want everybody to come, and I want them to believe like me. But I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul said men crept in unaware and caused a lot of problem in the early church. And I'm telling you, you keep giving them sheep food, and this is sheep food. The sufficiency and the omnipotent power of God and the justification of the sacrifice that was offered, the pure blood that was offered. Not offered to us, but offered back to God. You give them that and keep giving them that, and they'll smile at you. Or maybe the Lord will show it to them, but I'll guarantee you they'll get hungry enough and they'll leave. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean sheep needs sheep food.
Amen.
And not something that, you know what, I got a lot of sheep food sometimes that I didn't want.
Yeah.
What are you saying this for, Brother Kenny? Oh, I know you're talking to everybody behind me. No, he was talking to me.
Yeah.
But Isaiah tells us some wonderful things here in this verse.
Yeah.
He says in verse 18, listen, I'm going to go. This is so wonderful. You may say, well, we're just a small group. Do you know how many it's meeting in Pennsylvania County in Danville area of about 40,000? Do you know how many old Baptists is meeting tonight? None. That I know of. So be thankful. Look at each other and say, Lord, bless you. And I'm glad to see every last one of you. Isaiah says in verse 18, to whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? We can't compare. He's not like us. Religious men has made him like us. Religious man said if we can preach to him long enough, we can get him in heaven. That's simply impossible.
Amen.
Man, Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:14, 2:14, for the natural Romans 7:14, for the natural man received not the Spirit of God, it is foolishness up to him. Neither can he know it because he's spiritually discerned.
Right.
The Lord is talking about a natural man. The Apostle Paul is talking about a natural man that cannot see it.
No way.
Can't see it. The Lord imparts that life.
Yes, he does.
Apostle Peter said, the Lord told Peter on one occasion, you're blessed, Simon, by Jonah.
Yes.
All of these blessings you might think that you could obtain, this is one man couldn't give you. He said, you're the Christ, Peter.
Yeah.
You're the Son of the living
Amen.
God. And then Jesus says this. I believe every word Jesus said.
I do too.
Young man, if I met you, I don't know, but I'll tell you this, that young, beautiful son you've got, hold on to him. But I believe what Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
You tell him about him at day, you tell him about it during the night, and you walk before him and show him. You can't be perfect, but all we ought to be more like him as much as we can. Peter, you're blessed.
Yes.
Because flesh, blood, money, devices cannot show you this.
That's right.
Blessed are thy Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, if we can see it, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Oh, I can be happy around religious folks, and I love them. I've got a lot of friends. And listen, but I told Brother Gary yesterday, I was right pitiful. Can I tell it, Gary? It's just the truth. You saw it. When I got out of the stand at Craigsville, maybe I was expecting too much. Been praying for the meeting and trying to study. And like Gary said, we don't study to preach. We study to study.
Yes.
I said, Gary, I'm so lonely.
Yeah.
The Lord left me and I don't know why.
Amen.
Gary, preachers talk this stuff. I said, Gary, I don't understand it. It is the most loneliest feeling I felt. Well, the church was wonderful to me. We thank you, Jamie, and we appreciate it. And they were kind. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
He'll bless a preacher when he wants, and then withhold when he wants.
Amen.
So I'm just keeping it simple. I want to tell you something I understand. And I understand this, that Isaiah is telling us some wonderful things.
Yes, he is.
And most of the time, preachers will quote the first 3 or 4 verses and quit. But it's some wonderful stuff here. Have you not known in verse 21? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 21? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth. I wish I could remember that today, Gary.
Yeah.
And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out as heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
That's our God.
Have you not heard? Well, I went to Amelia and served that church 6 or 7 years. I don't want to go, Gary. I'm tired of going. Gary said, I love you. And when we've been through a lot of stuff. She's a dear wife to me. I miss her dearly. I'm hard to live with. But she said, I'm going to go with you a lot of places, but I can't go with you in the well of a belly of a whale. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So if you've got a burden to go and serve those people, even though the house ain't sold, even though we can't financially move, you run up down that road. She reminded me, haven't you heard this?
Yes, absolutely.
Haven't you heard that the Lord calls his men?
Yes, he does.
Haven't you heard that he told his first disciples, you don't take this with you. The church will provide for you. You go. Don't take 2 coats or whatever. I can't remember it all. You go and go where I send you.
Right.
And preach the everlasting gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Preach the word.
Right.
Be instant in season and out of season. Have you not heard this?
Yes.
We've heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, we ought to keep repeating it, and it ought to make us happy.
Amen.
And I'm happy now, and I know that about Tuesday, Wednesday, I know how I get. But I'm telling you, I'm happy now, and when I'm happy, I want to tell you about Jesus. Because I ain't got much else to tell you about. I could tell you about my life.
There's nothing else.
I could tell you about all the stuff I've been through.
No.
And you'd say, boring. You know, as we went down to West Virginia, Gary, please help me keep up with the time. We went down to West Virginia, all through those mountains and all the handiwork of God and all these highways and that men have built on and on. And I think, what a wonderful, and saw the moon Shining last night. And I said, Lord, you just sitting there coming home and thinking about the meeting and being with Bobby and Gary. It's such a wonderful day. And then I reminded Gary today that when I was cutting wood one day, I happened to turn over a log, and it's more life under that dirt than you can ever imagine. It reminded me that the Lord's got a kingdom on this earth that's spiritual, and man can't produce it, and you can't see it with your eye, but don't discount it. It's much more prominent than your money, you, all of your family, the president, like him or not, all of your historical friends, wherever you live, on a mountain or in a valley. I'm telling you, children of God, the Lord's got a kingdom here, and Isaiah is saying something here that we should be happy. Amen. And he leads us like a shepherd.
Yes, he does.
And that's wonderful. I told the church at Cedar Creek, there are bound to be you educated folks, even a 12th grade degree like me. They did tell us this, that for centuries they said the earth was flat. I mean, they believed that. And if it's told over and over and over and over, you'll believe that. And it's just a little thought. It come to me the other day, and never really heard it. And it's no doubt, Brother Larry, some little young man come in that's dead. He's probably an intellectual. Maybe it's Aristotle. Maybe I don't know who about these people. And I don't know when they figured out it was round. But I'm telling you, maybe some young man come running in and says, Daddy, listen what the professor told me today. The earth is not flat. It's round. Where did you hear that foolishness? My granddaddy, my great-granddaddy, my daddy has always told me the earth is flat. And do you see that line right there? If you go over that, boy, you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to fall off the edge.
Yeah.
Well, Isaiah's telling us, if you just looked here in this book that's been here all this time, the prophet Isaiah knew that the earth was round.
Sure.
He said, he setteth upon the circle of the earth.
Yeah.
Is that? Did he just write that?
Yeah, that's what it reads.
That's in Isaiah chapter 40. Have we not known? Have we not heard? Oh, it goes on and on. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Behold, the Lord will come, in verse 10, with a strong arm, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And I looked that word up through the references that it gives me here. Those that are young is those that are still feeding like a babe would be. You can be young at 50 years old, you can be young at 10 years old, you can be young at 100 years old. But we've got a shepherd that's gentle. We've got a shepherd that leads us with kindness. We've got a shepherd that don't give us, Bobby, what we deserve. Oh, he chastises us. But we've got a shepherd. The Lord is showing us him. But you know what? I'm winding down. The Lord sent under shepherds that I've known.
Yeah.
Very few. Jamie, you know, I've got 40 years experience in church. So I know what I'm talking about. I've saw very few real pastors. Now, they're good men, good preachers. But I'm talking about the ones that spent their life for the Lord's people. I'm talking about the ones that give, didn't have it to give. I'm talking to that were ones that wore the same old green suit for years because he gave everything that he had away.
Sure.
I'm talking about the one that went. I'm talking about the ones that rode these mountains like Walter Cash and left his wife at home to tend to that farm and had to get up early and get prepared to go and rode for horseback for miles and got very little to sustain his family. But he kept on going, because he had a message to tell them. Lord. He had something wonderful to tell them, that their warfare is accomplished, and he was a pastor. And he's not the only one. I've known a lot of them, and I've known a lot of them that has walked before me and shown me that, listen, preaching is not just preaching, but it's to follow Jesus. And Jesus says here, it's to feed his flock, to feed my lambs, Peter. Don't make them, but feed them. Give them something. Sure, admonish them, but be kind to them. Be gentle with them. Walk before them in a good way. Certainly be strong.
Absolutely.
We've got to go to Revelation 4. We've got to. Because it explains it. It explains exactly what I'm talking about. It explains the faces. Exactly. This is wonderful. It explains the faces of this pastor that I'm showing you.
Sure.
You've known him. If you haven't known him, you better look hard. I'm telling you, you got a pastor right here. Absolutely. And the Lord sends him to feed his flock like a shepherd. Shall gather the lamb with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently though lead those that are with young. Revelation chapter 4, I think, shows us the ministry.
I do. Amen.
Revelation, I've been reading through it since January. I've been reading Isaiah 37 through 50 for 2 months. You know where I'm at now? I mean, Genesis 37 through 50. You know where I'm at now? Chapter 39. It's that exciting.
That's what happens.
It's that wonderful. The Lord's Word. And He gives us that to deliver us. The shepherd would deliver those sheep. He would get them out of the ditches. He would go leave the 99 and go get that one. He was gentle to them. He was kind. Now you probably had some sheep handlers. We've got some preachers that I've known that are handlers. Hard. You don't know. You ain't got none up here like this. I can't talk to him. Can't relate to him. Oh, but the Lord has sent shepherds. Gary, I've got to just for a minute. Please bear with me. How do you know, Jamie, that this is talking about the ministry and it's something else? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go all the way to the end of Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, and prove this is talking about the ministry with one scripture. Thou art worthy. The 420 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, if a minister, when he walks into the pulpit, if he's not allowed to lay his earthly garments aside, he will not preach this gospel.
Amen.
If he thinks he's smart, now listen, please don't misunderstand me. My son is educated. My daughter's a music major. And if I had the opportunity, I would have loved to have gone to any college. But listen, somebody had to pour the tobacco. Somebody had to make the tires. And that's wonderful too. But I'm telling you, children of God here, this is wonderful when the Lord shows us in the simplicity, that this, if you are proud, Jesus says, to be great in this kingdom, you've got to be the least.
Amen.
So when these 420 elders fall down before the throne, and John saw in this wonderful vision about the New Testament church, this can't be heaven, children of God. This can't be, but it's a type and a shadow of heaven. Now listen, this is just a little inkling of heaven. This is heaven here on earth, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. And oh, a lot of times I've enjoyed it under the sound of the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Well, how do you know that's the ministry? This is what they preached. Thou art worthy.
Yes.
O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. That's the gospel message. Lord, not me, but thee.
Amen.
Lord, thou hast accomplished. Lord, thou hast saved us. Lord, help me. Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Lord, send your spirit. Lord, save our churches. Lord, send us a pastor. Lord, help my daughter. Lord, help my family. Lord, help my money situation. Lord, help me to get home. That's what these four representatives are the four. I've heard people say that the 420 elders represents the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. If that's what you think it is, that's just fine and dandy with me. I wouldn't argue with you about it. But I'm telling you right now, I have to see the simplicity as the Lord started us off in Revelation chapter 1. He said, oh, by the way, these candlesticks and these stars that you saw, the mystery, this is a mystery to you, like a lot of this is. But oh, by the way, these stars, in my words, they're not really stars. They're messengers. They're preachers. And all these candlesticks, they're not really candlesticks. They're the churches. Right. They're the churches.
Right.
So he starts us off saying, listen, the representatives here of things make us like the skull and crossbone. It's poison. It don't say the ingredients. But when you see that emblem, you know it's poison. Well, this is the same thing. The reason I know this is talking about heavenly things, and in this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, it was a trumpet talking to me, and it said, come up hither. Right. Listen, children of God. Jacob had a hard time because he had to go down into Egypt.
Yeah.
When Jesus prayed, he said, my Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. So I know, just children of God, that this is talking about heavenly things. And it's talking to these churches that were real churches and real problems. And he gives us right here these faces of the ministry. I've heard a lot of preaching on this and I agree with it. Verse 4, and round about the 20 elders set 420 seats. Revelation 4, verse 4. Upon the seats I saw 420 clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. How can they preach according to Romans chapter 10? Unless they be sent. If you try to make a preacher, it ain't going to work. I've got one son. He's my favorite son. I told him, listen, you do what the church would have you to do, but you only preach if the Lord calls you to
Amen.
Preach. I can't make you a preacher.
Right.
If the church calls a preacher, he might be the most wonderful man, but these representations is the gospel ministry. I know the four beasts represent Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's wonderful with me. But not only does it represent that, it represents the ministry all together, from the ministry of John the Baptist all the way to the end of the earth. That's what I think it is. Garrett, you agree with me on that? It represents the ministry, not only the four evangelists, but it represents way more than that.
Yeah.
And then he gives us these faces of it. But these men that the Lord said in his prophet on one occasion, touch not my anointed. These men were chosen and called from God. These men were fishermen. And the Lord just walked by and said, follow me. These men were tax collectors. These men were publicans. These men were sinners. These men is not what the theologians were trained today. The Lord called them and crowned them with gold.
Yes.
In other words, he gave them the honor to carry his message. I've said this before. I've said a whole lot before. If you had a message from Obama, if a man walked in your office, say you're the governor, and I've got a message from the president, he'd be a mighty man that you would want to hear. Well, that's what the Lord does when he grants a man and sanctions him to preach. Fearful. And calls him. And tells him, according to Acts 13 and Acts 16, you go where I sent you. But look at these faces. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Oh, what's the seven spirits of God? That simply means that the Holy Spirit, the spirits of God are complete. There's no lacking. So they're represented by seven. In verse 6, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And when I think about the word beast, I think about cattle and hogs and chickens. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this ministry to the world. What is wrong with these people? Kill all of them. Hang them. Burn them. The Anabaptists in the old Swiss Alps, the historians tell, burn the whole villages. These people are not, these preachers are like beasts. Well, the Lord is showing us here, but they're not beasts. But they've got these faces like these calves and this eagle. The first beast was like a lion. The gospel minister, children of God, that he's got to be a courageous man, and it's hard. It you know what? It's hard as long as I ain't having to deal with my family. I mean, it's easy if I'm dealing with the church. It's easier, maybe. It's easy to preach when there's no problems. It's easy when you get down to 3 or 4 members, but the Lord has blessed us. But listen, it's easy when you get to where you think, you know what? I'm no purpose at all. Oh, but you got to be courageous. It takes courage to wait up on the Lord and deny yourself. Oh, it takes courage, and that is the face of the ministry, the Lord's ministry, not religious ministry, but the Lord's ministry. And you've known some of them. I have. Oh, the courage it takes. Oh, Jamie, you talk like, no, this is the most wonderful thing the Lord has ever blessed me with. And I would have been just as happy keeping my seat. But I'm telling you, John was right, and the Lord revelation of this was exactly right. It takes a lot of courage when you're dealing with your own family. Well, you know, it's my family. It really don't matter this time. And so many other, listen, children of God, it's way late. And so we're not going to go on and on with this, but that's a face that if this is a good pastor, he'll have that courage. Oh no, brother, you shouldn't do that. Do you know who he is? Do you know that half of this church is his kinfolks? Do you know how much financial gain that he's getting? Do you know that he put the roof on the church? It takes courage for a pastor to say, no, we're not bringing that in. I don't care if who says it. According to the word of the Lord, this is right. It takes courage, don't it, girl?
Sure it does.
And that's the face. That's the face of a good under-shepherd. And oh, the Lord sends them. Oh, yes, he does. A lion, king of the forest. The second beast was like a calf. And you know, you've heard a lot of preaching about this, and Lord knows it. But I'm telling you, a calf is young, is strong, and it's got a lot of producing before it.
Absolutely.
You know, they told him in Egypt that this one cow had dried up. The old religions of Abraham, the old religions, that's dried up. That there's a young calf coming. That's what he's showing us here. That the face of a gospel minister has to be one that through his years, like Brother Tolliver today, when I told him how much I loved him in all the years that he's produced, he's loved. And he hasn't been perfect, and he hasn't done everything right like none of us do. But he's had that face. His intention is to preach the gospel. And that calf. And you see many faces. And listen, children of God. You'll hear your pastor preach on this and get much deeper. The third beast had a face of a man. You know what?
Absolutely.
A shepherd can feed his sheep. He can beat it on them. He can throw it out on the ground. He can run them away. They can run when they see his face because of his harshness. Or he can feed them gently. Or he can call. They know his voice. They say in the old Swiss Alps that the shepherd could call and they would all get in line and come in the gate. A good shepherd that the Lord sends and grants him this ability is someone you love. You know he ain't perfect. You know he hasn't made all the right moves. And you know that he's just a man. But he's got a face that you can relate to. He's got a face when you say, you know what my daughter done? He's got a face when you say, I got to talk to you, Pastor. Do you know what I've done? He's got a face and he has to have... He's not an angel. He's not above the church. He's a servant of the church. He has to have this face at the gospel minister. And the face of... that you can relate to.
Amen.
I believe that's what he's talking about. I really do. I really do. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
Yeah.
A good pastor, children of God, somewhere along the line, if the Lord's called him to preach, would allow him to preach. And if the Lord allows him to preach, at time through the years, your pastor is going to take you to places through preaching when the Lord anoints him and take you high above this world, like Stephen when they stoned him that I mentioned every time I try to preach. Listen, he was reigning and ruling above this world when they were stoning him. He's a flying eagle, John sees this ministry here. When the gospel goes out, you say, Lord, is it 12 o'clock already? You just get carried away. That's the face that I think John is talking about. And somewhere along on the line, if your pastor's never taking you away, it's either his fault or your fault, but one of you is in the wrong. But John is telling us here, he's like a flying eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, he goes places where nobody's ever been. He takes his young and way up on the mountaintop, he takes them up there and builds them a nest safe from every element. Oh, this is a ministry. He's as brave as a lion. He's as gentle and producing as a calf. Listen, children of God. He is all of these faces. And listen, we're not perfect. And don't think that your good pastor hasn't done this. They do this. And if their intention is to serve the Lord through preaching, the Lord will allow that, even though our works do not certainly add up to this, but I'm telling you, children of God, these faces of the gospel minister that preaches to you of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the sovereignty of the God of Israel, one has these faces. He's got a face. He's got that courage of a lion. He's got that gentleness and producing spirit of a calf, and he's got that face of a man. And he's going to be like a flying eagle when the Lord blesses him to preach the gospel. I love you. And I'm going to miss you until I see you again. I hope that the Lord blesses you. I hope you have a pleasant week. And my desire is that if I said anything that is harmful to you, that the Lord forgive me and your good pastor will let me know. Thank you so much. I love you. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
Amen.